Good morning, people. How's it going? Happy Monday. Monday, June 8th. June 8th, right? Yeah, June 8th. How's everybody doing? Did you survive the weekend? I don't know. Maybe we're starting to... I don't know. It's weird. It's weird when you live in a little town because we clearly don't have the kind of stuff that's going on in some of these bigger towns, bigger cities. I don't know how... I don't know, man. I'd just be super stressed out. But we are. We had a great weekend. We had a nice protest on Friday. I don't know if that's the right word, nice. We had a protest on Friday. It was... I don't know. There was an organized protest that was supposed to happen on Friday, then they canceled it, and then they just had a protest. And we had made reservations. You know, it's like, it's strange, man. You got like all sorts of shit going on, you know, right? We've been locked down, we've been shut down, we've been quarantined, and now we're starting to get back open. And I don't know how everybody else feels, but the town that I live in is just a little town. So, you know, we want to try to go out and support our businesses that have been closed, all of our restaurants. And I'm good friends with a lot of people that own restaurants. And in fact, the restaurant that we made reservations actually was a great sponsor of another podcast that we do, the Rehoboth Social Podcast. And so we'd made reservations. That's, you know, it wasn't anything special. In fact, this restaurant really never has taken reservations. They really do such a great business that my buddy Matt, who has passed on, who I talk about a lot, was one of the owners of this group, Sodell Group. And I used to say, why don't you take reservations? And he goes, we don't need to. You know, we live at the beach. You know, regardless, the seats will be filled. And I was like, oh, well, excuse me. And so they don't, you know, up until now, they never took reservations. But, you know, we're trying to go into these new phases, phase one, phase two. And part of these phases was making, you know, reservations. You had to make a reservation. I was like, hell yeah. I made the reservations probably 2 weeks ago. I wasn't sure what the landscape was going to be like, but I knew that when it was time to go out, not only did I want to try to support another small business, but I was ready to go outside and, or not go outside, but go out and have dinner. And that tune in my head had changed a bit too, because when this had all started, I was like, well, I have kids and I cook at home for my kids. I don't need to be going out to restaurants. The food is never, you know, great. Well, 3 months later, my tune had changed. I was like, we want to go out. My wife's birthday had happened during the quarantine, and we never got to really do anything. And so, you know, we wanted to kill a couple birds with one stone, support, and go out. We're excited. And so then they announced they're having this big protest, and they're basically doing the protest right by the restaurant, right there. And it was going to be me and my wife and my friend and his wife. So granted, you know, none of us had really been out. We weren't sure what this was even going to look like. And we'd been watching, you know, 2 weeks of these protests going on and these riots and these looters and fucking mayhem and craziness. At the same time, peaceful riots. So I'm not trying to come off like I'm, you know, I think the riots or the protests are important. But somehow we sprinkled a little rioting in there, and it freaked a lot of people out, including myself. Very unnerving. I talked about it in the podcasting. On the podcast, and just really unsettling. And they had set up to have a protest a week ago, I guess today it was, at the outlets. We have a big outlet place here, you know, it's an outdoor mall. And they're like, yeah, we're going to have the protest at the outlets. And I was thinking, God, that seems like a really bad idea. I didn't say anything. I mean, I just thought to myself, wow, that seems like a bad idea. Well, a lot of people thought it was a bad idea. They ended up canceling. The police showed up, state police, because, you know, history shows that sometimes these protests, these other people show up and tend to fire it up, and then, you know, windows get broken and shit gets stolen. And so, you know, it's just all this, right? I'm just all this, you know, not working, quarantined, always on, and, you know, the under the huge umbrella of that, you know, we could possibly catch this and die. Not to forget about that. And so they ended up canceling that one a week ago. And it was so strange because that weekend was the weekend that they really televised, you know, these protests that were going on in L.A. and Santa Monica and just wrecking the place. I could not get that. That was so disturbing to me. I'm like, how many, you know, why are so many people wanting to steal? I don't know the answer to that. I just know what I was watching. And it was really sketchy. And I had said to my wife, I go, you know, I'm really thankful we live in a small town, you know. We're saved by the small town. Well, that Monday, they announced they're having a big protest at the outlets. I'm like, holy shit, here we go. And for whatever reason, they canceled it, probably because it was a bad idea to do it at the outlets. And the air was thick with, you know, fear. And basically, they shut down. Like, they shut down Lowe's, they shut down Walmart, they shut down Home Depot, they shut down Staples, they shut down the outlets, they shut down everything. And just a ton of state cops showed up. And at the time, I was like, yes, you know, great. Thank you. Thank you, state police. And because, you know, I was freaked out because we don't live far from the outlets. And, you know, 1,000 fucking thoughts go through your head, right? You know, do I need a gun? That's the weirdest thought that I've been having, that I need a gun. And, but, they shut it down. So basically anybody that was going to be out there was, you know, wasn't allowed to be. And they had a huge police presence. Went off pretty smooth. Nothing really happened. But they had been had this Friday for the 5th protest scheduled as well. And I'm like, oh, my God. So they end up canceling the one for the 5th, the one for Friday. But then they announced that they're going to go ahead and have it unofficially. So I'm like, oh, geez. So, you know, it's weird. You know, we're tested. You know, do I want to be a victim to this? Do I want to support this? Do I want to just carry on with my life as I'm just regular life? You know, how do I handle this? Am I, you know, and then you deal with a lot of, you know, how come I'm not protesting? I don't know. And I'm not going to get into all that. But I just know that it's a big basket of feelings. And on top of the fact that we've been quarantined, we're out of work, nobody's working, you know, our town and everything is just going to hell in a handbasket under the giant umbrella that if you catch COVID-19, you're going to die. And that right there is getting testy. So Friday comes along and we have reservations at this restaurant. I'm like, let's go for it. Let's go. I mean, it's going to be fine. My friend's like, yeah, it should be fine. My wife's like, I don't know. My buddy's wife's like, I don't think so. And I talked about on Friday about, you know, being patient. And that is what I'm really trying to do today. And, you know, from when I talked about it till today, and I'm going to try to keep doing it, is just to be patient with other people's feelings, right? You can't, you know, it's like a presidential debate. You know, it'll fire up real quick. You know, masks, no masks. This is real. This is not real. Conspiracy. It's just a fucking whole lot of shit. So we made reservations. We canceled our reservations. And, you know, that brought up odd feelings. Long story short, we ended up going to another restaurant, Blue Coast. And so we had a reservation at 5 at this restaurant. And so all of a sudden these clips on Facebook start popping up, you know, the long crowds on along the highway. And I'm like, shit, we probably need to go. You know, I don't know. Are we going to get through? The unknown is really the weird part for me. And so we jump in the car and we live real close to where this protest was going, you know, and I come down a side street, and then we make our left onto the highway and start heading south towards a restaurant, and it's just lined with people. And, you know, my wife started crying. I started crying. I mean, it wasn't, you know, a full out cry, but you know, the emotions, there's just so many. I mean, I'm just speaking for me, and I know for my wife, we're carrying so many emotions: fear, the unknown, resentments, justification, you know, it's just all this shit that we're just carrying around in hundreds of fucking opinions and 100 debates. And it just became really, you know, a weird moment and just got very emotional. And it was super peaceful, you know, there was no problems. And that's awesome, right? That's what we love. That's what this country's about for me, is, you know, the ability to protest. If you want to protest, that's our right. And they did it, and they did it great. And, you know, I'm honking, beep, beep, you know, put my arm out the window. But then I'm like, how come we should have protested? Why didn't we join them? I don't know. It's fucking insane. Regardless, we go out, and we had an amazing dinner. And it was just nice to just sit outside. The way they did it is that... you approach the you know, the lady at the stand there out in the front, and you know, give them your name, and then you wear your mask, and then they take you to your table, and then once your group is set, you can take your masks off. And we had a great time. It was just nice to sit down. You know, it was outside, so it was definitely breezy and super comfortable, but it was just nice to get back to socializing and having some food, and we just had a lot of fun. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know how everybody else is handling it, but I feel like those were two big things that we've been thinking about a lot, is what's going to be like going back out, and, you know, can we have a protest and get the point out of what the protest is about without having it turn to, you know, violence and you know, destroying the city. You know, we went shopping yesterday. My son's going to his mom's for the summer, and I wanted to get him some shorts, and we went to the outlets, and half of them were boarded up, half weren't open. It was just, you know, it was a weird, weird time. And, I don't know. I'm just, you know, feel a little better. It's Monday. Hit the bike this morning. Went for a ride with the doctor. And I like to say that I think we're coming out of it, but then I watch the news and they're just having these huge... It does seem like the protests are starting to just stay pretty peaceful, which is great. We went down the Lane Staley Tunnel this weekend. I mean, I've never listened to a guy more that has more pain in his voice. Like he's wearing his
artificial red smoke. Poison consumed in the house of ill repute. Thank you.
You know, that phrase right there was a huge eye-opening moment for me. This is Mad Season, you know, that's sweet Mike McCready playing guitar, Lane Staley, I don't know the other guys, but, you know, this album's been around forever, but that, on a cloud of pink that turns to gray, and I'm alone again. I mean, I could fucking totally relate to that shit. You know, when I got sober, it was so awesome, you know, and not really getting sober, just not doing what I was doing. I mean, just the fact that I wasn't drunk driving, that I wasn't fighting, wrecking shit, crashing stuff, destroying my parents' lives, people around me, just all that ending was just an amazing feeling. I've said it before, if you live in a field of manure, finally you come out and you think the air was from God. And after a while, you realize it's just air. You know, this amazing thing that you're doing is really just being normal. And then that pink cloud turns to gray. And I'm alone again. And that's happened to me so many times. You know, I got sober. You know, I got sober in 1997, March 31st, 1997. I was sober almost 7 years, 6 3/4, 6.5 years, and drank. But before March 31st, 1997, I had tried to get sober many a times for my parents or for people. And it would feel good, but then the reality would show up is that you're just normal, dude. And normal didn't seem that great. So I ended up being alone again. You know, I've talked, I can't get into the big book. I can't get into literature and stuff. But I do want to just maybe real quickly read the second step, which is, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I mean, that, it was weird. When I got sober and went through the steps, that makes sense. Came to believe. Well, came to believe could mean, you know, I believe, you know. I believe. That's pretty abrupt. That's pretty quick. But when I came to believe, that word came really gives me a pretty wide spectrum. Broad stroke brush, right? It's a pretty open-ended timeline, so to speak. You know, when the first time I got sober, I had a sponsor. I went through all the steps, went right through them, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore to sanity. I got that. I had no fucking idea what that meant, but I was like, yep, let's go to the next one. And it wouldn't be to honestly, if I'm going to be real honest, it really was probably 5 years ago that I started to kind of get that. You know, I say, dear God, I'm turning this over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough. Dear God, I'm turning this over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough. I started probably 5-6 years ago. I started making an actual effort to recognize that I'm not the most important person, that I have to turn this over. I need help. And I don't know why, because I actually thought I'd done it. I've gone through the steps twice. But I think I was going through the steps because I was wanting to be, you know, it's like going back to school. You know, I want to do it and move through it and be done, graduate. And I was doing it with a great sponsor who was like, you know, let's do this. And I'm like, yeah, and I don't know, maybe inside I wanted to impress him, or I think inside I've always wanted to be less sick than I am. I've always wanted to appear better than I am. You know, just the fact that just by the people that I pick to hang out with, I'll hang out with a professional, tax-paying, a guy that lives here in America because it's the only place I live. But, you know, just a good standings in the community. I'll hang out with that guy even though he's full of shit, but he's still, on the outside, he looks great, so that makes me feel like I look better. But it wouldn't be till years of being sober and going to meetings and the ups and downs and trimming away the fluff and getting right down to it where I realized it's, you know, that's just trying to make myself look better. You know, do I want to do this program so I look better, or do I want to do this program so I feel better, or do I want to do this program so I am better? Look, feel, am. I am better. I am definitely better, but I'm better at being me. I'm better. And that's the other thing. When I got sober, it wasn't to be better. It wasn't to be the guy that I am today and the guy that walked in 1997. They didn't know what that would be like. I came in 97 because I wanted to hide. I was so embarrassed and ashamed from getting my fucking ass kicked that I didn't want to explain the stitches again. And that's what being better was. And the guy that I am today, who does not do this perfectly, you know, still, I mean, I don't drink and I don't do drugs, but I'm still, you know, some days I'm just insane. And, but that wasn't the guy I was trying to be one day, this guy that I am today. It's an interesting journey. But came to believe. It took me 20-something years to believe. And I'm not a big... And, you know, I always thought, well, I don't really believe in God. I don't know if I... It's not that I don't believe in God or a higher power. I just don't believe in that God that I would go to church with my sixth grade friend God. But then later on, now I start to understand even that. It's really just about faith. It's the attempt, not the return. It's really where the growth is for me. When I stopped being so concerned what I was going to get or if I was going to get it, and just really focused on understanding that I am not strong enough to do this by myself, and I have to recognize it out loud, and I say it out loud. Dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. I'm not asking for anything. I'm not wanting anything. I used to lay in bed. Maybe you guys can relate or try this out. But, you know, sometimes I lay in bed and I close my eyes and it's just dark. You know, just darkness, gray. And I start saying to myself, dear Lord, I'm not strong enough to handle all this. My shoulders aren't big enough and I'm just going to turn it over to you. You know, business. I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that as long as I don't, like my buddy Matt used to say, as long as I'm not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out. I say, I don't know what's going to happen, Lord. My shoulders aren't big enough to worry about it. I'm just going to turn it over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough, Lord. I'm just going to turn it over to you. And I'll sometimes say it 3 or 4 times. And this gray blackness that's in my mind, I'm not seeing it, so this is what's in my mind, starts to come down. And I start to see trees and green and sunshine. I mean, I can clear my mind to a point where I can imagine the sun so bright that I have to turn away. And then if I start letting that self-centered fear creep in, it almost like a curtain. It just starts going back up. This grayness comes in and I can fight it. I'm turning it over. I'm letting it go. I'm turning it over. I'm letting it go. This is in your power, Lord. I'm not, you know, I'm not almighty. And I can see it fading in and out, the green. And, you know, if I'm really at a great place and really can let a lot of that stuff go, I can fly in my mind. I can lay there and, you know, just imagine flying above the buildings. It's fucking weird, right? But that mind, man. It's heavy. But it wasn't until I started trusting that, you know, I practiced this with my son Sam. I mentioned this. We say the same prayer, you know, because he gets worried and he has anxiety and he has fear of the unknown. I tell him, stay in the moment, bro. Recognize you're not, you know, If you're scared, say it. I'm scared. My shoulders aren't big enough to carry this fear. I'm just turning it over to you, God. I'm scared. My shoulders aren't big enough to carry this fear. I'm turning it over to you, God. And we practice that. You know, it all falls back into that kind of that audience. You know, if you have three people in front of you, say, I'm really frightened. You have one guy that says, hey, man, you should pray about it and turn it over. You have one person that says, I get it. You know, it makes sense that you would be afraid. And then all of a sudden you have the third person that's like, I'm scared too. And then you're like, okay. And then it's your choice, right? It's you. You decide what you want to do. You can go, yep, I'm just going to recognize it. I got it. I'm going to stay in the moment. At the moment, I'm safe, and I'm just going to turn it over and tell God that I'm not strong enough, and I'm just turning it over. I'm not asking for anything. I don't say, dear God, my shoulders aren't big enough. Fix this. Bring me clients. I don't do that. I just recognize it out loud. There's some there's humility to it. There's some embarrassment about saying it out loud. What are people going to think if I'm talking like this to a higher power? There's some shame, right? But that's what makes it so important. You know, you have to say it. And then you can be like, you know, makes sense. We should all be afraid. But not think it through, but just let that kind of stew. Or you can find the people that are like, oh my God, me too. Let's just be kind of, listen, if you're freaked out, I got it. I don't judge. Whatever. But there's definitely people that like to be freaked out, and there's definitely people that like to work through it and turn it over and move on. And that's where I'm at today. I want to turn it over. I want to recognize that I'm not this, the most powerful person or the most important person in the room, and that I have fear and worry. So I practice that today. But that I had to, over years, came to believe. And it works for me. Absolutely. It's almost like, it's almost comical how much it works. The act of being humble and saying something out loud and having faith and not testing it and analyzing it and saying, no, this didn't work, or I'm still freaked out. I just keep saying it and have faith that that would work. I came to believe in a power greater than myself. I wish, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a gift, man. It is an absolute gift of this program. And it's a gift to have that ability. Someone to hold against my own. Alone and cursed is what I crave. Ooh. Yep. I hope everyone has a great day. Oh, man. I am just... Ooh. Stretch. Breathe. Stay in the moment. Mmm. Oh, man. Hope everyone has a great day. You know, come to believe, came to believe. I don't think you have to be an alcoholic to practice these things. You know, I think these problems have been way before wine. It's just humans. All right, everybody, have a great day. Peace.